Stand with me on this one. Stand with me this morning. Here we go. We're going to read some scripture this morning. Guess who we're talking about today? Any guesses? We were talking about this message this week, and Pastor Graham started singing this song. And I'm like, what are you doing? And he couldn't remember it. He goes, I remember singing this song in kindergarten. Does anyone remember this song? You do. Were you singing along? Under your breath, were you singing? So Pastor Graham thought it'd be a good idea to let you see that song this morning. That's cool. So Zacchaeus, here we go. In the Gospel of Luke, in Luke chapter 18, we're going to roll from Luke 18 into Luke 19. It says this, as Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. And when he heard the crowd going by, he asked, what's happening? And they told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. And he called out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. And when he came near, Jesus asked him, what do you want me to do for you? Lord, I want to see, he replied. And Jesus said to him, receive your sight. Your faith has healed you. And immediately he received his sight. And following Jesus, praising God, when all the people saw it, they also praised God. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus, right? He was the chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. And when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to murmur, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. And Jesus said to him, today, salvation has come to this house, because this man, too, is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. Isn't that beautiful? Father, we pray for the reading and the study of your scripture this morning. Thank you, Lord, that we can read the Bible this morning and not be thrown in jail. Thank you, Lord, that we can read about Jesus, the Word of the living God. We realize that these are just not words, but they're God-breathed, God-inspired. You are the author of the Scriptures. We pray, Lord God, this morning that we would understand Jesus a little bit better this morning. And Lord, we pray that you would help us to get a glimpse of the life of a man named Zacchaeus. We pray, Lord Jesus, that you would speak into our heart as we study this morning from your Word, that you would draw us all closer into your presence and closer into your kingdom. We pray this in the name of Jesus. And all those who love God would say, amen. You all may be seated. We've been doing a series called Testimony. And we just couldn't leave without doing a testimony about Zacchaeus. In this series, we picked people from a broad spectrum. We thought, hey, how about the Gentile guy with spiritual issues, and we did the one on the demoniac because we kicked it off, and then we did the woman who was hemorrhaging for 12 years, and we did that one, and just great contrasts, and then we thought, hey, let's do Paul, people from a broad spectrum, and all the way through we see the heart of Jesus crossing over into the darkness of the Gentile side and releasing a man out of evil, of demonic presence. We see Jesus. The heart of Jesus, when this woman touches him and is healed, he isn't just like, hey, that's cool that I healed you, but he wanted her to know that he's a personal God. He looked her and he called her daughter. Our God is a personal God who has a personal touch in our lives. We read last week, you know, don't mess with Jesus. Paul or Saul was a very arrogant, prideful, spiritual man, and Jesus knocked him off a horse, blinded him for 3 days. Anyone want to fight Jesus? And you see this just intentional strength of Christ and his sovereign will, changing these people along the way. This morning, we could never really grasp Zacchaeus because we don't live under a persecution of a government. But I want us to meet Zacchaeus today because this guy has an amazing life story. He has an amazing testimony if you just dig a little bit. What do we know about Zacchaeus? We know this, and it's kind of cool. By the way, when you go to, if you read the Gospels, it says Jesus was leaving Jericho or going into Jericho. There's two Jerichos in the days of Jesus. There was the Old Testament city of Jericho, and there was a brand new Hellenistic city called Jericho. And if you go with me there, though we don't go to Jericho anymore. It's not safe. But anyway, there's this Old Testament city of Jericho with Joshua, and they built this brand new Hellenistic city, Roman city. Jesus is leaving the old city of Jericho. He's going into this new city, and that's where Zacchaeus is. And on the way, Jesus heals a blind man, and the people go crazy. And as Jesus is coming into the modern city of Jericho, it says this, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. Your Bible, chief tax collector, wealthy. Okay? He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd, so he ran ahead and climbed up a sycamore tree because he knew Jesus was coming. Well, what do we know about Zacchaeus? Well, we know from the song that he was what? He was short, right? Zacchaeus, if you want to take notes this morning, write this down. We know that he wasn't very tall, okay? We know that he wasn't, he didn't play on the basketball team in high school. Why does even the scriptures record he was short? Because he had to climb a tree. And why did he have to do that? Has anyone ever been to the Rose Parade? You know, I remember as a little boy going to the Rose Parade, and I couldn't see the floats. I couldn't see hardly anything because all these people. And finally, I climbed up, someone got me up to where at least he could see. He's short, okay? Just thought you should know that. Take notes this morning. We know that he was the chief tax collector. For who? For the Romans. The oppressors. The conquerors of his people. Zacchaeus works for the IRS of the conquering empire of his people. Okay? Does this make him popular? Answer? No. He's seen as a traitor. He's been kicked out of the synagogues. He's not allowed to come up. He's not allowed to go to church in Jericho, okay? He's not allowed to go up to the temple in Jerusalem and worship. He's been kicked out. Somewhere in this guy's life, if you just think about Zacchaeus with me this morning, somewhere in this guy's life, one dark night, he had to choose. He had to make a choice in his life. Would he stay with his people? Would he stay with the God of his people? Or will he sell out his life to the Romans and become a traitor and work for them in order to get rich? His people and the God of his people, money. What would you choose? What did he choose? Money. By the way, he wasn't just selling out his people or his God or his country, but his family. Do you know what his name means in Hebrew? Take notes this morning. I want you to meet Zacchaeus. His name means pure one. Pure one. In those days, parents would name their kids with names that they hoped they would be. On the day he was born, his father and his mother looked down at him and thought he was the most precious little one in the world. And they decided to call him Pure One, Zacchaeus. Do you think he was a disappointment to his mom and his dad? Anyone? Do you think he was a disappointment to his family? My son, the doctor, right? My son, the tax collector. As we were talking about this, and Pastor Vince brought up, he said, you know, in those days when, and even today in religious Jewish settings, when a kid converts, like a messianic, like let's say a Jewish person in a religious setting converts to be a believer in Jesus, their families will have funerals for them. They cease to exist. It's probably very probable that the day that Zacchaeus chose his profession, that his mom and dad had a funeral for him, that our son is no longer our son. He's dead and he's gone. He wasn't just, when he one night said, what path do I take? Do I stay with my people, the God of my people, my country, and my family, or do I get rid of this in order to get money? See, people, somewhere in his life, I believe that he would have had to think this through. Take notes this morning. You want to meet Zacchaeus? Note, here it comes. Ready? Zacchaeus chose money to be the most important thing in his life. It's what he lived for, and it's what he forsake everything for. Money. Have you ever met people like this? People, Zacchaeus chose money, and guess what? He got a lot of it. He got rich. He wasn't just a tax collector, but he was the chief tax collector in Jericho. Back then, Jericho was an important city along the trade routes from Jerusalem to the east. Jericho was a city surrounded by palm trees, filled with the smells of dates. It was filled with caravans of exports and imports going to and from the east. For the Roman government, the city was a lush center of taxation. With the smell of dates was the smell of revenue. It was a very important city. Herod the Great had a palace there. It was big. And who's the guy running the show? Zacchaeus. Knee deep in this taxation is Zacchaeus. Making sure that the proper due is given unto Caesar, and in the process a denarius or two for himself. Right? As the chief tax collector, he was responsible for the region. He was the boss. He had people working for him as he worked for Rome. And I'm sure that he made this profession pay off. And I'm sure he hit it wholeheartedly, right? If there was some widow that couldn't pay her taxes, I don't think Zacchaeus had any problem kicking her out of her house. There was a family that was struggling that year. I don't think this guy had any problem taking their farm animals or putting a mortgage or what have you. This is Zacchaeus all the way skimming off the top, and he's becoming very rich. This is him. Matthew was worked as a tax collector for the Romans in Capernaum, didn't he? This is the chief tax collector. Matthew would have worked for a guy like this. Are you meeting him this morning? Do you guys feel like you know Zacchaeus a little bit better this morning? Do you think Zacchaeus ever regretted his life? Do you think he ever at times wished he could start over? Do you think that money and power satisfied Zacchaeus? Question, do you think he slept well at night? We don't know. Let me add one more thing about Zacchaeus. A few years before he climbed up that tree, there was a very special man baptizing people just outside Jericho at the Jordan River. A man named John the Baptist, who was saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Zacchaeus, I'm sure, knew of John the Baptist. I don't think he went out there to see him, and if he did, he didn't embrace his ministry, did he? At least it doesn't look like he did. But he knew of him. Everybody knew of John. But it's a couple years later, people. And he's looking at Jesus from afar, up in a tree. And for the last week, I'm trying to get into his mind for the last week. What was he thinking up in that tree as Jesus was coming toward him? As this miracle man was walking close to him. I was wondering if Zacchaeus looked down and recognized the blind man. Remember, it says that Jesus healed the blind man. And it said that he was dancing. He was praising God. If you were healed and you could see, let's say you've been blind your whole life and all of a sudden you could see, would you be dancing? I would have been dancing around Jesus going, whoop, right? And everybody's going, look at this, look at this, look at this. And this guy is praising God. The crowd's praising God. Zacchaeus is watching it from a tree. Did he recognize the man? I know that guy. I've seen him. He's been blind his whole life. No way. The excitement, the crowd, the energy. And here he comes. What was Zacchaeus thinking? What was going on in his mind? Did he have any regrets? Do you think he was proud of his life? Do you think he was proud of who he's become? Do you think he wished he could do it over again? What was he thinking? The million-dollar question. Do you see him sitting there? Can you picture him? I sold my soul for a buck. I sold out my country, my God, my people, my family for money. And how's that working out for you, Zacchaeus? Are you satisfied? I wonder if Zacchaeus knew that an ex-tax collector was one of Jesus' disciples. Do you think he knew that in advance? Maybe he knew Matthew's boss from Capernaum at the annual tax collectors convention or something. I don't know, right? It's speculation on what he was thinking, but what his response is tells us everything. Listen to this. When Jesus reached the spot, I love this. He looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. And his response is, he came down immediately, hurriedly, excited. He was ready. What does that tell you about his heart? He didn't say, no, I'm good. No, I'm just watching from afar. No, I'm happy up here. That's not his attitude at all. He's down, right? He's probably going, how did he call me by name? Did somebody tell him about me? Hey, guys, how did Jesus call him by name? Does anyone know? Because he's God in human flesh, the fullness of deity dwelling in bodily form. Jesus called him by name. And FYI, Jesus calls you by name too. God in human flesh. Jesus knew everything about Zacchaeus. And he knows everything about you. By the way, he knows you better than you knows yourself. If Jesus calls you by name, don't be asking, how do you do that? Because he already knows you. God knows your name. He sees you. Isn't that cool? Zacchaeus, come down from that tree. I'm coming. He came down quick. And all the time he's going, how did that guy know my name? Where is his heart at? That tells us a lot, doesn't it? Listen to this. I like this verse. Notice the response of the crowd. When Zacchaeus comes down and Jesus goes into his house, how does the people in Jericho, what do they think about that? Are they happy? Look at this. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. And all the people saw this and began to murmur. He's gone to the guest, be a guest of a sinner. Have you ever had, how many people here have ever had someone rip them off? Raise your hand. I have. I've had people rip me off. Have you ever had someone rip you off? And you could do nothing about it? You know what you say on those days like that? Well, one day God will get them. I've said that. I've had people rip me off. And I've thought, someday God's going to get them. The people in Jericho were singing that song. And the person that one day they want God to get is Zacchaeus. And that's the guy Jesus went to go have dinner with. They're bummed. You're supposed to be getting him, Jesus, not eating with him. He's ripped me off. He's stolen from me, and I can do nothing about it. And you're eating with him? You're supposed to be getting him. There's a lapse of time that goes by. Jesus and his apostles enter into his house to have dinner. How much time passed? We don't know. 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours? As the door of his house shuts, I almost can see crowds gathering outside, continuing to murmur in confusion. I can't believe what Jesus is doing. And I'm so grateful that the Scriptures does not tell us the conversation inside. Because now we just get to guess. Imagine sitting down at dinner. What questions do you think Jesus asked Zacchaeus? So, tell me about your life. Right? What did Jesus say to him? Did Jesus begin to tell him? You know, Zacchaeus, I need to explain something to you. That guy, John the Baptist out there, he is the one who comes to prepare the way of me. He is the messenger that prepares the way for the Messiah. Jesus had a long conversation with him. He comes to prepare the way for me. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven's at hand. I'm sure Jesus explained to him what he was missing. I'm sure he talked about sin and salvation. I wonder if Matthew, the ex-tax collector, began telling his review, right? I wonder if somewhere along there Matthew says, Zacchaeus, I need to tell you my testimony and about this Jesus and what he's done in my life. What happened for those hours of that meal? Anyone? I mean, I'm guessing. But I'll tell you this. Look at Luke 19:8. And watch closely, because you're going to see the miracle of a camel going through the eye of a needle. A rich man entering the kingdom of God. Look at this verse. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord. Lord. Did you catch that? Lord. Here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. That's called spiritual transformation of a person from the inside out. Zacchaeus is made right with God and with himself and with his past. He admits his sin. He admits that he's been cheating people, robbing the poor, and promising to give it all back and then some. I think John the Baptist is going, yes, right? That's called repentance, FYI. And notice Jesus. I picture him smiling as he says to him, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save that which is lost. That which is lost. Do you think that the people in Jericho were happy that Jesus had dinner with them? Well, he came out and started paying them back fourfold. Would that make you happy? What if someone ripped you off and you could do nothing about it, And all of a sudden you get a phone call from this individual saying, I'm paying you back four times the amount I stole from you. How many of you in here would be happy? I would be. I'm glad you met Jesus. I'm glad Jesus had dinner with you. What is Zacchaeus' testimony? If Zacchaeus could come here today and give you his story, give you his testimony, what would he say? What would be his testimony? Money was the most important thing in my life. Over family, over my people, over my God, and I actually became a traitor of my nation for money. This is my story. FYI, it didn't work. It didn't work. I didn't find ultimate meaning, purpose, and fulfillment in life chasing money. I'm sitting up in a tree filled with regrets. Take notes this morning. What is Zacchaeus' testimony? Here it is. Money and power doesn't satisfy. It doesn't satisfy a human soul. It's a great substitute for God for a while. Money will provide comfort and security, but it cannot take away your sins. It cannot make you right with God. In many ways, it competes with God in your life. Jesus said these words in Matthew 6:24, his great Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said this, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and wealth or God and money. One of them has to take place. What is the note of Zacchaeus' life? He would say, I sold out my life for money. And he would tell you, money and power doesn't satisfy. He would tell you that Jesus saved him from a life of regret to eternal life. I think if Zacchaeus was here today, he would say, Jesus gave me what money couldn't buy. I sold my soul and Jesus bought it back. I'm a son of Abraham again. Can you imagine? I bet that really meant something to him. His parents declare him as dead and doesn't exist anymore. And Jesus says, you're a child of God again. He gives him back what he lost. He would be here today telling you, I was a person who lost sight of God. I lost sight of what God created me to be. And I lost sight of the purpose and meaning of life. And I was looking for a way back. And Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You want your way back? You come through me. You know what? Zacchaeus is unique. It's like no matter what you've done, Jesus has the power to bring us back to God. Did y'all hear that? No matter what any of us has done, Jesus has the power to bring us back to God. Even a traitor like this. The power of Jesus. You know, Jesus was on the way up to Jerusalem. He was on his way to Jerusalem. He went through Jericho, came up the Jericho road to Jerusalem. He gave a parable of that famous road. Jesus went up and he died on a cross. And 3 days later, he rose from the dead. When Jesus died on the cross, whose sins did he die for? Zacchaeus's. He died for Zacchaeus's sins. Was his sins great? Answer, yeah. Do you know if you're a traitor in this country, you'll be thrown in jail? You're giving away nuclear secrets for money and stuff like that? I mean, you could be killed, executed. That's treacherous. What he did was horrifying. And yet in a tree, wishing he could find a U-turn, God says, I'll give you a U-turn. Jesus says, I'm having dinner with you. Jesus knew his heart. Jesus went up on a cross and paid for Zacchaeus' sins, and not just his, but mine. And not just mine, but John's. He also paid for Warner's. Pastor Vince, lots of sins, paid all. Cameron's sins washed away. Doug's sins gone. Bill's sins gone. Keisha's sins gone. Zacchaeus is awesome. He's a great life. He's got an awesome testimony. Look at this. I've been staring at this verse in closing. In Luke 19:5, it says this. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house. When Jesus reached the spot, the place where Jesus and Zacchaeus first met, I wonder how many times in the life of Zacchaeus did he walk by that sycamore tree and say, that's the spot where I met Jesus. How many times do you think he went by and said, that's the spot? I mean, we had a great time in sermon prep. What happened to Zacchaeus? What did he do after he met Jesus? Did he quit being a tax collector? Did he become the most honest tax collector in the Roman Empire? I mean, what happened to this guy? But he went on living, and he lived a brand new life. He was given his life back. I'm sure that his mom and dad says, well, if the miracle man from Nazareth calls you a child of Abraham, then you're our kid again. I mean, he was given his life back. And he walks by, and he says, how many times did he walk by that spot and say, that's where I met Jesus? There's that tree. Up in Forest Home, there's a rock that I sat on in the fall of 1985, and I prayed, Jesus, I think you're real. How's that for faith? And I want you to come into my life. Every time I go up to Forest Home, I go by that rock. There's actually a Billy Graham rock up at Forest Home as well, where Billy Graham had an amazing encounter with Christ, and it's called the Billy Graham Rock. Now, they put a plaque on his rock, but not for me. But it's my spot. Where's your spot? It's fun when my wife, Cindy, she remembers accepting Jesus when she was 4. Her mom knelt with her and prayed with her, and she still remembers that, one of her first memories. That's her spot. At that spot, it says Jesus came to that spot. Where's your spot? Where did you meet Jesus? Where's your test? How many people in here have met Jesus? Raise your hand. Okay, do you remember the spot where you first met him? Do you remember it? You need to talk about that this week in small groups. This was the spot. This was the place. Do you remember that spot? Do you remember that spot? If you're here today and you're like, I don't have a spot, this could be your spot. If you're here today and you've never said yes to Jesus, if you're here today and you're like Zacchaeus, I'm just watching from afar, I just want to check him out, I'm just hanging out in a tree, I don't know. If you want to accept Jesus, this could be your spot. Today is the day of salvation, says the Scriptures. It says, all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, ye shall be saved. Zacchaeus calls him Lord. Lord, I will give back. Lord, he was on his way. And Jesus smiled and says, salvation has come to this house today. It's an act of faith. When you accept, when you receive, it becomes yours. Jesus can't be afar in your life. You've got to bring him in. You've got to bring him in. He who receives him, you have to receive Christ. It's like me having a gift for you. If I give you a gift and you don't receive it, you don't get it. You have to embrace Jesus into your life. Do I hear an amen? If you're here today and you've never accepted Christ, it's simple. Pray my prayer. Jesus, I think you're real. That was all I could do. But my life changed. That morning, that next day, something was different. Lord God Almighty, I pray for my brothers and sisters in this place today. Jesus, I pray for my brothers and sisters that they would remember the spot, that they would reflect upon their journey of how they've met and known Jesus. I pray, Lord God, that they would just breathe in your presence. Remember those days of that first sweet communion with the Almighty God. That you are gentle and humble in heart, and you give rest for people's souls. Lord, I pray if there's anyone in this place who's never embraced Jesus Christ, that today, God, that their spot would be here at Woodbridge Community Church. That this would be the day that they climb out of that tree and they embrace Christ and they obey Christ. They accept Christ. They follow Christ. If you want to accept Jesus, pray this prayer. Before you do, take a deep breath. Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus the Christ, Jesus the Son of the Living God, you call my name today. And today I'm coming down. Today I'm coming toward you. Jesus, today I receive you in my life. I embrace what you've done on the cross to wipe away my sin, my shame, and my guilt before a holy God. I thank you for forgiveness. Lord, I've blown it many times, and I'm not proud of myself, and neither are you. But you wash me clean today, and you take all my sins away, never to be remembered again. I pray for your Holy Spirit to fall upon me. I ask for your Holy Spirit to just empower me. Lord, write my name in heaven and help me to follow you today and forevermore in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, it doesn't count if you don't come up and tell me. No, I'm kidding. If you prayed that prayer, if you've accepted Christ today, you have to come up and tell me, okay? You can tell Pastor Vince too or Pastor Graham, but one of us, okay? You have to tell us. I want you to meet the heart of God this morning. I want you to stand as we close with this last song. It's called Behold. This is a beautiful song. It's a great theological song. It speaks about the oneness of God and God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. It speaks about God's love for you. So I'm going to ask, maybe we could just turn down the lights and we'll have kind of a quiet moment here. And I want you to reflect on the heart of God as we sing this song. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe upon him shall not perish, but have what? For God so what? For God so what? He loved. Who did he love? You and me. For God so loved you. This is the heart of God. Behold, the heart of God.